Now you have the record of the birth of John the Baptist in the remainder of this chapter. I'll lift out some high points here. And I read in verse 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John." And the reason they called him Zacharias was because of the fact his father's name was Zacharias. He'd be Junior, I guess. But that was not the name he was to be given. And immediately, while Elizabeth said, "We're going to call him John." And they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that's called by this name." You generally pick out a family name to give a child. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Remember that this man's in a pretty bad way. He can't talk. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying his name is John. They marveled all. It's amazing that apparently he was not only dumb but deaf. He couldn't hear, at least he didn't hear Elizabeth say his name was to be John. And they were amazed at this. This was the name God wanted him called. "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." This man Zacharias is able to sing now praises to God, because faith has come to a reality, but he didn't have much of it. And now that the boy is born, why, he can rejoice in God. And isn't that, again, a very human quality for many of us, that when God hears and answers prayer, why, then we can really rejoice. And I think that's sometimes the reason that God answers prayer for some of us weaker saints, so we'll have something to rejoice about. Because we don't do much rejoicing, you see, unless we have a very strong faith. Now, will you notice? We read here, his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." Now, it was quite obvious that this was to be an unusual child. And notice now that Zacharias, who was dumb for a period of about 9 months, he's now not only able to speak, but he's going to join in and sing us a solo. We've had a solo by Elizabeth. She sang the first one. Mary sang the second one. And I think it's quite proper now that Zacharias sing us the third one. Will you listen to him? His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Now, this is a song that we have here. It's a prophecy, but it's a song. Now, listen. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, this man isn't in the line of David, but he recognizes that this boy is to be the forerunner. He's the one that Malachi had spoken of. He's the one that Isaiah had spoken of. He is the one that was to come to make the announcement of the coming of the Messiah. And the presence of the forerunner indicates that the Messiah is not far behind, that he's coming along. And though they may not know too much at this time. Now, will you notice? "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Now, you see, God had promised that to Abraham, and they still believe the promises of Abraham, that they're to be fulfilled. There are some today that have given up. They do not believe God will make good the promises that he made to Abraham. And friends, you have no more right to believe in John 3:16 and discount the promises God made to Abraham. You have no right to do that. If God is going to make good John 3:16 to you, he's going to make good his promises he made to Abraham. And all of these people believe that at that time. Now notice what he says here. He says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." You see, he shall be called the prophet of the highest. He shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now verse 78, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." He knew that the Messiah was in their midst to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now that is a promise that God had made through Malachi, and he'd also made it through Isaiah. Verse 80, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." John the Baptist was a very unusual person. We've seen that already in the other two Gospels, and we'll continue to see it as we go along.